Well, Matthew chapter 8. On behalf of the shore, I am going to have a sermon about water. It just happens as I'm thinking about the sermon. Here's my boat. And do we have some atmosphere? Okay, here's the waves to get you the feel of a sea. And do we have anything else? Do you have some lightning and thunder? And turn the lights back on. Matthew chapter 8. So there are two sections of scripture in Matthew about the disciples going across a lake in a boat. And we're going to just cover both of them, okay? So Matthew 8, verse 23. Here's the first story of the disciples going across a lake. Verse 23, then he got into the boat, that's Jesus, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. A little bit later, they're on the water again. And I've entitled my sermon here, "Walking on Water." Walking on Water. So Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." So I want to talk about walking on water. I look at this story kind of as an analogy of life. And we're traveling, we're on a journey, and we're traveling in our boats. Okay, here's a boat. Which I didn't see. Whoa, they pumped this boat up while I was at the shore. So the boat represents security, comfort, safety, our flesh. And we're traveling, hopefully, from earth to heaven. And we're traveling through life. But as we're traveling through life, you and I are well aware that we hit storms that come up. Some of them come up quick, and some of them take a little bit more time, and they have different lengths. But you know the storms I'm talking about when you're traveling through life. The storms of financial problems, the storms of cancer, the storms of a divorce, the storms of losing your job or your kids becoming prodigal or disobeying. There are many storms that come upon us as we're going through life in the boat. Some storms we bring upon ourselves, like Jonah. Jonah disobeyed God. Sometimes when you disobey God, the consequence is a storm that you go through. When you commit adultery and it destroys your marriage, that's a storm you caused yourself. Then there are some storms that Satan brings, like with Job. Job lost all of his kids, lost all of his wealth, and lost all of his health. So some storms are caused by the enemy. Some storms, I believe, you are led into by God himself. In both of these stories, you'll notice Jesus, he knew there was going to be a storm out on the lake, and Jesus told his disciples, in fact, in this one, he made the disciples get into the boat and go across. Some storms God has preordained for us to go into. And I don't think it's to cause us to sink. I think God is trying to get us to learn how to walk on water. He's trying to learn how to encourage and build up our faith. But there are storms that God allows to come our way to strengthen us in our walk with the Lord. So I want to teach you how to walk on water, some of the things here. Number two, I want you to notice that when you're going through a storm, you need to see Jesus. So it says in verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. You need to see Jesus in the midst of the storm. Now, in the first story in Matthew 8, Jesus was right in the boat with them, asleep. Sometimes when you're going through a storm in your life, and you just can have this feeling like, God, are you there? Are you asleep? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you know how my heart's breaking? Do you know the trial I'm undergoing, the situation? Where are you? It can seem sometimes that God is asleep, but he is not asleep. He is always there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. And of course, when he gets up, he rebukes them and says, oh, come on, you guys. You know I'm here. I'm with you. In the second scenario here, they're looking into the storm, and there they see Jesus. You need to see Jesus when you're going through the storms. When you're going through storms in your life, believe me, the Lord is there. Though you may not see him, you need to look for him. He's in the midst. He's with us. He's not leaving us. And you need to see him in the storm. You need to cope with your fear. In verse 27, they have fear, and Peter later on has fear. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. We need to deal with the fears in our life. And fear and worry is sin. Just like lying, committing adultery, stealing, breaking the Sabbath. So fear and worry is sin as well. Now, I don't know about you. There are two things that I do with fear when I face fear. And I know it's sin, okay? But nevertheless, I can give in to fear. And there are two things that I do. It's called using a microscope on your fear and using a telescope on your fear. And I have done both. So let me give you an example of how I use a microscope on fear. When you're using a microscope on fear, there's some little situation in your life, but you look at it with a spiritual microscope and you blow it up into, you know, you make it way bigger than it probably actually is. So I'll give you an example. And this is true. This is going on in my life. God has blessed me with lots of freckles. As I tell those people that are into tattoos, God tattooed my body. I don't need to do it because God gave me this. The universe is tattooed on my body. But with the freckles come moles. And every so often, I have to go to my dermatologist, and he checks me out, and he's like, oh, man, I got to remove this mole. This is precancerous. Well, my wife a couple of weeks ago says, dear, you got this mole on your back that you can't see. I think it's weird, and you better go check this out, okay? So I got an appointment, and of course, you know, it's not going to be until September for the dermatologist in this area to meet with me. And but you understand, I can look at this through the microscope of fear. So this is how that works. That little mole is now this big on my back, in my mind. And I've got skin cancer. It's going into my bones. I'm going to die. And do you understand? I with the microscope of fear, I can blow it up huge. Okay? Now, I'll probably go there and oh, this is nothing. Don't worry about it. You know. But do you understand how you can blow things up with fear? The other thing I do is I use a telescope of fear. So, and that's how I imagine way into the future bigger and bigger fears and worries. So, I'll give you an example. Mr. Smith, and I'm making this name up, but this is very close to what I do. Mr. Smith, in the middle of my sermon, has left the sanctuary. So in my mind, I'm fearful. Wait, why did Mr. Smith go? I bet you Mr. Smith is leaving the church. If Mr. Smith leaves the church, five other families will leave the church next week. And if those five other families leave the church next week, the finances will crash the next month. And if the finances crash the next month, the church will go under and I will lose my job. And if I lose my job, I'll be disgraced in the district and my family will leave me. And if my family leaves me, I'll be a loser and on the street. You with me? I am not kidding. I go down, I start this fear and I go down to my whole life is over, okay? Now, maybe you guys don't face this, all right, but. And of course, it never works. It never happens the way my mind makes it happen. Look, Jesus says, part of faith and walking with the Lord is to take courage. Jesus is with us when we're going through the trials. And when we start doubting, God, are you there? Are you asleep? Are you? He is there, all right? Keep your eyes on him. Well, if you're going to walk on water, so you're in the storms, you need to see Jesus in the storm, you need to control your fears, and then you need to, you have to want to walk on water. Verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Peter wants to walk on the water. I call that the walk of faith. In the midst of life, in the midst of the storms, walking on water is walking in faith, trusting God, no matter what the situation is around you, trusting the Lord. Now, you have a choice. You can stay in the boat, but I'll call this is the life controlled by fear, staying in the boat. Or you can say, I don't want to be controlled by fear. I'm tired of the winds and the waves rocking my boat. I want to step out on the water. You will never live the miraculous life staying in security in the boat. The miraculous spiritual life is when you step out and walk on water. There are some people who always, Christians, who always stay in the boat and they only get to watch the other people who step out of the boat and walk by faith and see God do amazing things in their life. I don't get it. It's like Facebook. There are some people who watch other people do things on Facebook, but they never do anything themselves. They just watch others do it. There's people who sit in their living room and watch TV and watch other people do things instead of doing it themselves. Well, spiritually, it's kind of the same way. There's some Christians who always stay in the boat. They always don't want to take the risk, the chance. But the miracles are when you step out of the boat, when you walk by faith, when you trust God. That's when you take a risk, a spiritual risk, and move forward. That's where the miracles are. That's where the abundant life is. Let me tell you, it's impossible to please God without faith, without walking in faith out of the boat. But there's some Christians, they never get out of the boat. They just watch the others walk on the water. They just watched Jesus pass by. Mark chapter 6. Look at Mark 6 for a moment. We're going to come back to Matthew here. But Mark 6 is the parallel passage. Mark 6, same story, just in the book of Mark. Verse 48, Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. See, it's when you stay in the boat, this is like staying in the flesh. This is tough. They're in the boat, and the storms of life, they're straining. This is in the flesh, trying to live your life. But the wind and the waves are straining against you. That's how some Christians want to live. All of life is stressful and strains. But when you get out of the boat and walk on the water, you don't have that strain. It's not in the flesh trying to live your life. You're now living by faith, and you're walking above the situation. And it's easy to walk. I mean, they're straining and getting nowhere. Jesus is like just walking right through the storm, right through. I was thinking that I've noticed we all go through storms. Anyone not go through a storm in your life? So I was thinking to myself, we all go through storms. Some Christians always seem to be struggling in their life, just storm after storm, and they never seem to get anywhere. And other Christians have the same storms, but seem to be doing okay. And I was thinking, it's the difference between the Christians who stay in the boat. And so they stay in the boat, and their life is just one of struggle all the time, one situation after the next. And then there's other Christians, they have the same storms. There isn't any storm or temptation that we don't face that's not common to all of us. But there are other Christians who have learned to walk by faith, no matter what the storm is that comes around them. And so they're able to move forward. They're able to live that abundant life that Jesus has. So when I was at the shore, we celebrated my dad's 90th birthday, and my third daughter turned 25 last week. And for Father's Day, this is faith, and for some reason, she likes to do adventurous things with me. She likes to stretch me. So I know last year she got me a Segway tour of Pittsburgh. So it was the first time I got to go on a Segway. It was a lot of fun. So this week, for Father's Day this year, she said, we're going parasailing when we go to the shore. So on her birthday, which was what, Thursday did we go? On Thursday was her birthday, she takes me and we go parasailing. Now, how many of you have ever gone parasailing? Okay, a couple of you. So we're on the boat, out in the water, and you get into this big parachute thing. She did tell me that I was like, hey, this is pretty good. And she said, I did want to do a hot air balloon, but we'll have to hold off on that one. But all of a sudden, the wind catches the parachute, and you go up. And we went up the 800 feet. You could go 500 feet or 800 feet. So she took me 800 feet up. But when we went up, I'm telling you, it was so smooth. It was so peaceful. It was just, okay, so we go up. And we're one of the first ones. There's 10 of us in the boat that are going to go up. And then we come back down. And, of course, they dip you in the water just to scare you a little bit. And then they brought us back on the boat. And now we have to wait for all the others to go up. Well, I am telling you, the water was choppy and the boat, I am getting seasick. I'm just like, ugh. Going up on the parasailing was smooth, but waiting for the rest, I'm telling you, by the end of that hour, I was seasick from that rocking boat down below. I'm telling you, the danger of staying in the boat through your life is you'll be seasick. There are Christians who are seasick through their whole life, as opposed to walking on water, which is a lot calmer a lot more relaxing and trusting God and walking through the problem with your eyes on Jesus Christ. Staying in the boat is going to be a life of regrets. Someday you're going to look back and you're going to go, why didn't I take that risk for God? Why didn't I step out and expect God to do a miracle? Why didn't I stretch my faith with courage? Staying in the boat is comfortable, yeah, but you're going to be seasick. And the water's going to splash over the side. And you're going to be in the flesh trying to go anywhere. And you're never going to get anywhere. I recommend to you, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you and live that walk by faith. Well, you got to get permission. So when you're going through the storm and you see Jesus in the storm, you know God's there. No matter what you're going through, believe me, we've gone through every storm with our six kids. You have to believe God's there. You have to see him. No matter what's happening, no matter what was going on in the church or whatever, you got to see Jesus. And then you ask Jesus for permission. Can I step out? Can I walk by faith through this storm? Am I going to trust you? And then you need to wait for Jesus to say, and what does he say to Peter? Come, okay? You want to hear Jesus say, come. To step out of the boat without hearing the come is presumptuous, and you will sink. There are some people that are in the boat who just, you know, hey, I'm gonna step out without getting permission, without hearing the voice of the Lord, and you will sink. Now, I see lots of people who just in presumption say this is God's will without actually hearing the voice of the Lord. You need to see Jesus in the storm. You need to hear his voice. He needs to give you permission, and then you step out of the boat. You know as well as I know that once you get out of the boat and you're walking the life of faith, you're walking in the abundant life that Jesus Christ has for you, you know you got to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Because if you get your eyes off of Jesus, and what does that mean, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus? To me, that means you go to church every Sunday. You're in your Bible every day. You're praying. Those are the things that are keeping your eyes on Jesus. If you don't keep your eyes on Jesus and you begin to look at the circumstances and what's happening around you, you will begin to sink. And that's when you need to shout out. I remember Rob and I were planting a church. The church is going along about probably 2-3 years. And we're walking by faith. We didn't have any money. We're just starting this church. We're just hoping God brings families for us to feed our 4 children probably by then. And at one point in the church plant, I began to get my eyes on what was happening. And the ship was sinking. There was wind and waves around me. And a family, my main elder and treasurer, was leaving the church, and he was upset. And he called everyone else up in the church and told them to leave the church. And we were going under. And I came home that night. It was a Sunday night. I told my wife, the ship has sunk. We are going down. The church plant is a failure. And I just cried out to the Lord, but I actually believed we had sunk. That next Sunday, well, all I can tell you is the very next Sunday, the church just began to take off. But I was sinking that night, just like Peter, because I actually got my eyes on what was going on in the church, and I got them off of Jesus. You know, when you're planting a church, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Even coming to Mars, I was like, Lord, I'm in the boat of the security of the district. Mars Alliance has a lot of challenges. Do you know that if you follow a pastor who's been in a church 40 years, that the chances of you making it as their pastor 1 year is like no pastor does it? Almost every pastor who follows a long-term pastor never makes it past 1 year. And there were all kinds of situations and issues and all this stuff. And it was like, I was talking to the Lord. I was like, Lord, I'm in the security of the district. Why should I step out and go to Mars Alliance? It's a risk for our life. our family, our finances. This, you already know from working in the district that this usually never works. But the Lord said, come, come. And it's been, there's storms, but it's been enjoyable. It's like a walk of faith. But I know sometimes you get your eyes on the situation and you begin to sink and despair. Just cry out to Jesus. Well, I got to close. When Jesus and Peter get back into the boat, what do the disciples do? What do the disciples do when Jesus and Peter get back in the boat? They worship and they say, truly you are the Son of God. See, what's neat about walking on the water and seeing the miracles that God does. I even think about the remodeling all being done. You know, it was like a storm to step out. We've stepped out in risk to take on the loan and to remodel the children's area and the bathrooms and the new roof and the parking lot and the lighting and all the other stuff we've had to do. You understand, we're stepping out in risk. And I feel like I know the loan is in all of our names. It's in the church's name, but I still feel responsible as the head pastor. But I was like, let's step out and go for it. Take the risk. But that's when you worship God. It's when you see the miracles that you get back with Jesus and you realize you are the Son of God. That church plant we were planting, when the church took off afterwards, it was like I just fell before the Lord and said, you are real. You are there. You are the Son of God. I know we'll forget about everything that's happened, but to me, it's the proof that Jesus is real, that everything he does. I want to worship him. Some of you are going through storms, and you need to get out of the boat. And you need to say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm going to get my eyes on you in the storm. Help me to walk on the water. I want the abundant life. I'm tired of straining and rowing and getting nowhere. And I need you through this storm. I need to walk on water. Some of you need to do that. Let's bow our heads. Is there anyone here that I want you to raise your hand? You're going through a storm in your life, and you're willing to say, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come and walk on the water. I want to be able to walk through this storm that's happening in my life. And then I want to pray for you. I see a couple of hands. Anyone else? You're going through a storm in your life. Okay. Father, I pray for the 7 to 10 people that they need to see you in their storms. And may you as they ask for permission, may they hear your voice calling them to walk in faith, to have courage, to not doubt your presence, that you are going to strengthen them, you're going to grow their faith, that they're going to see miracles happen as they walk on the water above the situation. And Lord, when they come through the storm on the other side, may they worship you as the Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.